Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the CES Energy Solutions Corp conference call and webcast with respect to the recently announced results for the third quarter ended September 30th, 2017. Presenting for the company today will be Mr. Tom Simons, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Craig Niebuhr, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised this call is being recorded. A question and answer session will follow the end of the presentation. Please also be advised that this conference call may not be recorded or rebroadcast without the consent of CES Energy Solutions. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Craig Niebuhr. Please go ahead, Mr. Niebuhr.
Thank you and good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending today's call. I'd like to note that in our commentary today, there will be forward-looking financial information and that our actual results may differ materially from the expected results due to various risk factors and assumptions. These risk factors and assumptions are summarized in our third quarter MD&A and press release dated November 9, 2017, and in our annual information form dated March 9, 2017. In addition, certain financial measures that we will refer to today are not recognized under current generally accepted accounting policies, and for a description and definition of these, please see our third quarter MD&A. Before we begin, we'd like to acknowledge that it's Veterans Week in both Canada and the United States, and that tomorrow, November 11th, is Remembrance Day in Canada and Veterans Day in the United States. As such, we'd like to take a moment to recognize all who serve and have served, to remember their achievements, their courage, and their dedication, and to thank them for their sacrifices. At this time, I'll turn over to Tom.
Thank you, Craig. Well, good morning, everyone. To start with, we're very pleased with the quarter. Importantly, it looks to be setting up for an excellent winter for the company on all fronts. On today's call, we'll talk listeners through Q3 results. As is customary, we'll provide a very detailed update on current activity across the entire company. We'll also talk about new initiatives, including an update on our cationic frac polymer. We're going to introduce listeners this morning to a new business line that is now commercialized and generating revenue in the pipeline construction space. We'll update people about our build-out in Grand Prairie or the Deep Basin of our rail siding, blending, and distribution center. We'll share our outlook for industry and for our company. Craig will provide a detailed financial update. We'll take questions, and then we'll do a quick summary and conclude the call. I'll start with a general summary of the third quarter. Both drilling fluid businesses, Canada and the U.S., continue to win new business while holding legacy or long-term customers. And we continue to drive good financial results because of operating leverage. We can make money with trough pricing because of concentration of activity and because we're vertically integrated in these businesses. Production chemicals continues to grow market share in both Canada and the U.S., with the Permian being our fastest growing market. In the Permian, more rigs translates to more production, which means more business for us in the Permian. And I would predict the same in time will happen in the Deep Basin here in Canada. Frac sales for the quarter were relatively modest. We continue to see that market as holding massive upside for the company. The hurricane that ravaged Texas in September did negatively affect our U.S. drilling fluid business and our U.S. production chemical business. Our barite mill in Corpus Christi was relatively unscathed and now is fully back up and running. Stimworks did its first work in the U.S. in the third quarter. We see nice upside in the U.S. for our specialized stimulation technologies. Sialco and Clear continued to make money for the company in the quarter and also, very importantly, contributed to longer-term strategic initiatives, so specifically our drive to be a primary manufacturer of frac polymers and our new pipeline crossings business. Overall, the quarter was very good. Without the hurricane in September and the effect of the rising Canadian dollar, results would have been even better. More importantly, how are we doing now and how does it look going ahead? Today, we have 77 drilling fluid jobs running in Canada. 6 weeks ago, the market was showing signs of softening. but the recent rally for oil and exceptional condensate prices give many of our customers more reasons to drill. We expect to hold our 35 to 40% market share through Q4 and Q1. And Q1 is looking to be a very strong quarter for the Canadian drilling market. During Q3, we commercialized in Canada the use of our patented EnerSeal or MMH technology for the HDD market. HDD is what the term is for drilling river crossings and other environmentally sensitive areas for pipeline construction. This is a completely new market for the company. We're working to have our technology designated under the NSF designation, which is the API for the pipeline construction market. This will allow U.S. pipeline companies to use our technology as they construct new lines. It's hard to quantify the addressable market, but I'm confident that this could be a 5 to 10% plus or add for our drilling fluid businesses in both countries as we build out sales, maybe more. We're very confident that the technology is light years ahead of current HDD technologies. For AES, our U.S. drilling fluids business, we have 98 jobs running today, which is about the same as we did through Q3. We hold 61 jobs in the Permian, 14 in the Northeast U.S., 11 in the Eagle Ford, and 6 in Oklahoma. We have a line of sight to being slightly better at year end, which is in keeping with the Canadian market. Typically, operators have run down budgets and soften a little towards the end of the year, but this rally in oil looks to be giving customers some reasons to keep rigs running. Our customers continue to develop in the U.S. their massive acreage holdings. They're delineating new plays and increasingly focusing on returns for their shareholders. We believe this more sustainable approach by industry serves our company better than overspending by our customers and the resulting consequences. I believe this lowers our risks for bad debt and will ultimately reward best in class for both E&P and services. Our barite mill produced 23,000 tons in October. This is an increase of 5,000 tons in September. That lower production in September was a result of the interruption from the hurricane. We are actively examining options to diversify our milling capabilities as an offset to risks like the hurricane. As our pipeline technology receives proper designation and we can build out sales, any of that revenue would be additive to our existing drilling fluid business. Production chemicals in Canada continues to expand. Treatment points grow. Accordingly, we're investing to ensure future success. Grand Prairie will strengthen our logistics and project to our customers that they can entrust their important production treating problems to us. PureChem continues to focus on solving problems in the Deep Basin, heavy oil, secondary recovery, and internal treatment of pipelines. We continue to high-grade talent and will benefit from rising production in Canada. And I'll remind listeners, we treat produced hydrocarbons and water. Both are expected to rise in Canada and the U.S. Frac sales through PureChem to pressure pumpers in Canada was relatively modest in the quarter. But we know what needs to be done to be a serious player in this market. We need to be vertically integrated in frac polymers. We need to have proper rail siding and logistics, which our Grand Prairie buildout will give us. And we need to use science to improve production results. So that's using the molecules that we're a primary manufacturer of today. So treating for scale deposition, using surfactants to enhance flow, using biocides to treat bacteria and make up water. Our longer-term thesis on the frac market is that the use of frac flowback water and produced water versus fresh water to build the fracs will be a step towards sustainability for our customers. So we're very focused on science that will work in that kind of water. On to U.S. production chemicals. integration of JCAM and Catalyst has been highly successful. We're adding new business in all markets. JCAM had its best month in October in 28 months. We're getting new opportunities in the Rockies. Catalyst in the Permian is obviously the real growth engine, though. Having our U.S. chemical business led by Midland-based people is a massive competitive advantage for us. Our customers recognize we solve problems faster than our competitors and closer to home. To our customers, this makes all the difference. It's why our culture is our edge and why we will fight to keep this decentralized model as we further grow the business. Our culture will help us solve problems for customers. It'll help us hire the right people, and it'll help us make money for shareholders. Frac chems in the U.S. continues to be modest, but the macro is identical to Canada. We can double down on existing infrastructure and manufacturing and sell products at the same point that we sell chemicals to drill the well and produce the well, so we can get more operating leverage off future frac sales. It's a perfect scenario for us to grow our business with modest capex. I'll now move on to new initiatives. Our build-out of the Grand Prairie Deep Basin facility continues. We expect to commission the new rail siding, blending, and staging facility in the summer of 18. This will create margin, protect existing business, and lay the groundwork for new production and frac sales. We're now also excited to announce our completely new revenue in the pipeline construction market. We've spent the past year working to utilize our patented MMH or interseal downhole technology in the HDD market, which is commonly known as river or environmental crossings for pipelines. Our value proposition is staggering. Much less water is required, less days drilling the borehole, and significantly less reach of breaches of the fluid to rivers, surface, or groundwater. We believe that can become a meaningful addition to both Canadian and U.S. drilling fluids businesses. For the first time in my drilling career, customers are calling us, and that's an exciting development in our minds. To update people on our cationic frac polymer, we continue to assess opportunities to do a trial. We have manufactured approximately 50 tons of finished product, so we have verified we can make the product. Supply of feedstock became impossibly tight in the quarter, so we haven't made more finished product. We just this week obtained more feedstock, so we'll now look to actually do a trial because we can deliver follow-up supply so that we can obtain proof of concept of the product. Again, our thesis is industry goes from fresh to more and more brackish water to build fracs. Our long game is to be primary in friction reducers or frac polymers, which we believe can pull our specialty chemicals into the job, which we're already primary in. So surfactants, scale inhibitor, biocide, shale inhibitors. This market only looks to be getting bigger and is a perfect layover for our drilling and production businesses from an infrastructure perspective. On to our outlook. We believe we can maintain a leading position in our drilling fluid businesses, which generates substantial free cash flow for the company. We think we can grow in the Permian and even grow in the Deep Basin in time. We're confident we'll grow production chemicals, which treat oil and associated water production, which are expected to rise in this commodity environment. We like our chances to beat the competition in a growing market. We're remaining patient and poised to seize opportunity in the growing frac market. Our new business in the pipeline construction space complements existing treatments we provide internally to pipelines and tanks. I'll now turn it over to Craig for a financial update.
Thanks, Tom. As Tom noted, Q3 2017 was another very positive financial result for CES. CES generated revenue of $260.9 million in Q3, an increase of $115.8 million or 80% over Q3 2016. Revenue from Canadian operations was $92 million in Q3 2017 versus $52.3 million in Q3 2016. Revenue from U.S. operations was $168.9 million in Q3 2017 versus $92.8 million for Q3 2016. EBITDAC for Q3 2017 was $39.1 million, more than double the Q3 2016 print of $16.6 million, and the highest quarterly EBITDAC number we've had since Q1 2015. This was achieved despite continuing operating at trough pricing and enduring the one-time negative effects of Hurricane Harvey that it posed on our U.S. operations in the quarter, that deferred revenue in the Eagle Ford, caused short-term outages at our barite mill, and caused artificial cost inflation for some of the key inputs such as diesel, and increased cost of logistics as our team worked to keep our customers' operations moving. Subsequent to the quarter, CES executed a very successful and oversubscribed refinancing of our $300 million senior unsecured notes, extending out our maturities to October 2024, and reducing our annualized interest costs from 7.38% to 6.38%. We were also happy to achieve that in Canadian dollars, as the C dollar has historically proven to be a natural hedge in the event of a commodity price downturn. With the refi behind us, our focus will be on managing our short-term debt as we continue to build working capital in the industry upturn. Post-payout of our old notes, which will happen next week, we will be drawing about $125 million on our senior facility with our senior lenders. But we expect that build of working capital and draw on the operating line to apex sometime in the first half of 2018, and our business model should begin to return free cash flow back to the balance sheet. And we see lots of financial flexibility as we assess our opportunities going forward. At this time, we'll turn it back to the operator and open the line for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The first question is from Greg Coleman of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Congrats on a strong quarter.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks.
I just wanted to start in the southern U.S. You mentioned the negative impact during the quarter from Hurricane Harvey on some of your Texas operations. No, not unique. We've seen that across a couple of operators or contractors in the region. Would you be willing to quantify the revenue, how much was lost as a result of the hurricane coming through?
Well, we haven't done the final tally and dotted all the I's and crossed on the T's on that, Greg, but our kind of initial assessment, it's in excess of a $2 million effect on EBITDA.
In excess of $2 million. And Craig, when I'm thinking about hurricane impact on EBITDA and how it rolls through to subsequent quarters, I'm kind of assuming that's lost EBITDA in the sense that it's not about to create a surge in Q4 just because of the nature of how the hurricane went through. It's not like you can add additional rigs in the back half of the year, back part of the year.
Yeah, I think that's probably 95% true, right? I mean, it's deferred revenue, but the reality is it's tough. You can't get time back.
Got it. Okay, if we could just switch gears for a little bit and talk about the continued growth in the production fluid side. I know that quite a long time now we haven't been talking about any sort of capacity constraints. Are you getting to the point where we need to be focusing on capital deployment in any of your production fluid facilities to increase product line throughput because of the demand on that, or are we still a ways away from that as we're coming out of the bottom here?
Well, Grand Prairie will sort of scratch that itch in Canada, Greg. You know, the biggest driver to do that is that we've got infrastructure like that now in a third-party trucking yard. We need to control our own fate and our own supply chain, and the rail siding will drive cost of goods down. As far as Kansas and Vancouver go, we've added over the years different reactors in Kansas to make different chemistries. Generally, the way that plant runs, we don't rinse the vessels and make different families of chemistries in the same reactor. Each reactor kind of has its own ecosystem. So we have lots of throughput capability in Kansas and in Van if we can sell more products. So we don't see CapEx kind of changing from the rule of thumb where it's about 5% of sales.
Got it. Okay. And that's what we should be thinking for 2018. I know you haven't put out a budget yet.
Yeah, I think that's a safe range.
And then just last one from me. We've seen some of your competitors in the U.S. on the production fluid side get pretty loud with some press releases coming out talking about pricing increases. When it comes from your stance, we don't see any or factor in any pricing increases on your products in our forecasts. I'm just wondering if you could comment on the competitive dynamics with, I mean, it's a press release, it's out there, with the major saying that it's going up 6 to 9%. Have you seen any follow-on activity from the rest of that production fluids market on the pricing side from any of your other competitors?
Well, we'll start by saying, we talk about this nonstop in the business. Until you can prove to your customer that your inputs went up in this commodity environment and with what's gone on for the last 3 years, unless you have a frac spread that 10 people want at the same time, you're not getting your rates up. So we think just trying to raise your prices to make more money is probably a bad strategy. We think your customer puts that work to bid to your competition. I think, Greg, $60, some of our inputs sneak up. We can show that to the customer. It's truthful. It's logical. Hopefully you can pass that through. Practically, what we've seen with that press release is that that company went live with that in the Rockies, and we are getting a look at business that they may lose because of that. But we have not actually seen them go through with that in Texas. So maybe that's a corporate edict, and the people on the ground said, are you crazy? We're going to get fired. We hope they push through with it. We don't think we're able to get the increases in this environment. We think it would actually be a negative overall to the bottom line.
So with that being the chess move, then, in your comments saying you're getting a look at activity in the Rockies, would it be reasonable to assume an increase of the rate of growth in your treatment points over the coming quarters if you're able to take market share from competitors who are trying to push through those price increases in a still relatively oversupplied market?
Yeah, I think the nuance here is that the press release may say that, but fact and fiction are maybe not the same. We have not actually seen that be a North American-wide edict, probably because the customers got told by all the rest of us that was what had happened, and they said, no way. And so I think those guys have probably blinked to some degree. We think we'll benefit from it somewhat, Greg, but it doesn't look like they're really pulling the trigger across the board. So probably the upside for us and Baker isn't as great as it would have been if they'd have actually did it.
Got it. Okay, well, that's it for me. Thanks again.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. The following question is from Jeff Federle of Peters & Company. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Jeff.
On the U.S. side, I know you talked about 98 jobs running today. Where do you expect that to go, I guess, into year-end and to start in 2018?
A month ago, I might have thought it would go to 90 by Christmas and then perk back up to 100 in Q1 now. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's a snick better by year-end. Because of the rally in oil and Q1, our customers, I think, will get a little busier, Jeff.
And do you expect the vast majority of the incremental to be in the Permian, or do you see incrementals in Oklahoma, Eagle Ford, and Northeast as well?
Mostly the Permian. but a little bit in other markets too. You know, if you have a market where you have 10 jobs and you pick two more up, that's a nice win. And those two rigs are more profitable than the two right before them because of the operating leverage for more work through the same place.
Craig, just a clarification on the CapEx. So the increase to $68 million for this year, is that just timing of spend? Have you added any incremental projects or changed scope at all?
No, it's really kind of pulling back more than anything. The Grand Prairie project has moved along faster.
And at this point, based on what you have in front of you, what do you expect a baseline for spending next year will look like?
Well, we haven't, as Greg on the previous call noted, we haven't finalized, call it our CapEx budget for next year. A lot of our projects come in real time because they're smaller, putting up tanks and fences and yards and buying trucks. But I think the forward guidance for CapEx of being in that sort of 5% of top line range in maintenance and expansion all in, I think is a relevant number going forward. And, you know, we'll put out some numbers with our year-end results, but it won't be materially different than that, I'm sure.
Great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Simons.
Well, we thank everyone for their time today. In conclusion, we feel confident in D&C activity in North American land in a $50-plus oil environment. Our Northeast business benefits from decent gas prices in that market. Many of our Canadian customers are enjoying excellent condensate pricing. Importantly, in all markets, our customers can still access services at fair prices, which keeps them able to afford to drill and complete. We feel certain our production treating business will grow with rising North American hydrocarbon and associated water production. Our modest pipeline and frac businesses have legitimate room to go way up for us. With our added term on our bond, growing sales and EBITDA, we feel confident that 2018 will be a strong year for CES. With that, we'll wrap up the call and say thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.